Episode 1, Degenerate Minds Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Elder, here with my buddy of 9 years, Denny. Denny's out in Vegas. What's up, Denny?
How's it going, Josh?
Pretty good. How's the desert life?
We just hit 100 the other day, so we are at the dawn of summer out here.
Oh, yay.
So, ready for the pool parties.
Oh, yeah. See, we had about 3 inches of hail last night in Colorado.
That's pretty cool. Cool city you got out there.
Yeah, great weather.
It snowed 2 weeks ago. You got the rain today. Yeah, great.
Yeah,
great.
It's a shitty place. So, little background here. Known Denny 9 years. We met in a casino. Both being degenerate gamblers. That's our common ground. And we just kind of wanted to start this podcast talking about basically sports betting, gambling, anything in that realm. Does that sound about right, Denny?
Exactly right. I mean, why hasn't there been a podcast dedicated to degenerate gamblers? And that's what we figured out. There was a need for this. So here we are, episode 1, The Phantom Menace, Degenerate Minds Podcast. And here we go.
All right. Well, let's just get right into it. You have recently thought about taking the plunge and going into professionally gambling and betting, I would assume, baseball. But maybe how did you get into, you know, being a gambler?
Well, before everyone shuts the podcast off and we talked about being degenerate gamblers, at heart, I'm a degenerate gambler, but I like to think that I do apply legitimate statistical analysis to my betting. I do have an edge. I have been kicked out of casinos before. Let's just start there.
that's a blackjack. You got cut out blackjack.
We could do a whole podcast dedicated to that. But to answer your first question, yeah, I'm originally from New York. Got introduced to gambling at a pretty relatively early age by attending horse racing at Belmont Park on any given Saturday. Had a little picnic area back there where I would play in the park, but also learn how to bet a $2 exacta. So at a very early age of maybe like 8 years old. So I kind of got my introduction to gambling at Belmont Park, for people who know about horse racing.
And then, so how'd you get out to Vegas?
My whole family decided to pick up and move to Vegas about 11 years ago. So it's kind of destiny that, you know, we ended up out here, I guess, that a degenerate gambler at heart who thinks he has an edge, showed up in Vegas in 2003.
And I, not from Vegas, get the great casinos in Blackhawk, Colorado, with the $100 limit in bets. So
the High Roller Club.
Yeah, High Roller, you know, throwing out hundreds. It keeps my degeneracy cheap.
To a level, that's right.
Yeah, so I can only lose so much, which is perfect, as I still have a real job as a mailman, so.
Well, let's make that clear. We do have day jobs here, and, so thank God we do. No, but, we're different types of degenerate gamblers, and obviously we like sports betting a lot, and poker and blackjack, and we're gonna touch on all those topics as we go.
Oh, or betting online horses, Hong Kong and Australia tracks.
that's your specialty, I heard.
Oh yeah, I love throwing money online to, you know, bet those late night Australia tracks.
One of our friends is a degenerate DraftKings addict, so we'll have him on the show to talk about that. I mean, we're gonna anything degenerate we're gonna have on this podcast.
And if you guys want to talk about anything degenerate gambling wise, you can hit us up on Twitter at DGenMinds, or even email us at degenerateminds podcast at gmail.com. And Denny is just new to Twitter, so get his followers up. Denny, what's your Twitter?
It's Denny Caps One. That's D-E-N-N-Y Caps One. I have 7 followers right now. So, who's going to be lucky number 8? That's what I want to know.
All right. Denny, let's talk about capping. You are in the middle of baseball season. You have a baseball system or model, whatever you want to call it. How's it been going so far?
So far, so good. We joke about being degenerate gamblers, but like I said, I do have a background in analytics, and I have a degree in finance and a master's in finance as well, and background in statistics. So baseball is right up my alley because, a baseball game is like a math problem to me, and that's kind of how my model is developed. But so far, so good this season. I've actually been really lucky, probably outperforming my expectations. So, probably come down to a lower level here soon. But, it's a model that I'm really interested in, and we can talk about further down the line.
All right. Actually, let's just go with that right now. So your model, did you build that from scratch? Did you take an existing model you got from someone online, or did you build it yourself? How'd that start?
Well, a lot of people who bet on baseball in 2014 like to apply sabermetrics and the sabermetrics analysis. To me, some of that still is justified today. The problem is the odds makers are using the same stuff now. So, developing a long-term edge in this game is outthinking the bookmakers, and I don't want to say outworking them, but outthinking them and applying data that they're not using to developing your own lines, which is what I do. And because baseball is very player dependent, my model takes into account not only pitchers obviously who are going to pitch that day, but also the lineup. So I'm looking at each player's projected statistics for a given day and actually simulating a baseball game.
All right. So when if you put all these stats in, all the players, all the lineups, are you waiting till the last minute, make sure the right lineup's in there? Are you guessing, trying to get overnight lines? What are you doing?
That's a good question. Right now, there's two trains of thought that go through my mind. I'm kind of testing both right now, but the overnight lines is where you can probably develop a higher edge just based off of the softness of a line produced by an overnight bookie. But you have to guess what the lineup's going to be. I mean, they don't release lineups till about, 4 hours before a game, let's just say. So if you're waiting to 4 hours before, the line's probably going to be significantly different than that overnight line. And probably over the long term, you're going to lose a little edge, but you might increase your accuracy. So it depends on what you're looking for. Right now my focus is on using the given lineup and making my projections off that. But I'm also testing how I would be doing if I projecting a lineup overnight the night before.
And like when you build this system, how do you know the system's good to go? Like, how do you know it's greenlit and like I'm gonna start, betting games tomorrow?
Developing a model takes a big investment of time and maybe even money. My line of handicapping is, like I kind of said, it's math based and statistics based. In this case, a lot of computer programming went behind developing this model because of the amount of data being handled. So I want everything to be automated. Also, like I said before, I'm actually simulating a baseball game. So every single batter, pitcher matchup that might happen in a game, every scenario in a game is actually, accounted for in the simulation. So once you develop that, it's probably worth testing it with some training data, whether that be like the first few weeks of a season. You really what you're looking for is and this is going to sound odd, but you want your projections to be similar to an odds maker's projection. That's going to tell you that you're right on. And when there's a significant difference between your line and their line, is when you're going to find your, you know, plus EV plays, I guess you say. But it all depends on how correlated your projections are to a bookie's projections.
And so when you get the number, what, like, how much of an advantage or difference between the lines do you have to see to actually make a bet or a wager?
Yeah, good question. You know, the way I look at things is, in baseball, I'm mainly betting money lines, and I could be betting, you know, short favorites or short dogs all the way up to a dog that's 2-1 or a favorite where I have to lay 2-1. So the way I look at it is risk reward. I'm going to want a little bit more edge when I have to lay more, or have a chance to win more. Or if I, you know, I'm betting on a team that's even money, you know, I might not need as much of an, of a, projected edge. So, you know, typically, I want at least a 5% edge, maybe a little more, because my edge, you know, might not be 100% accurate. Well, it's probably not 100% accurate, so it's good to leave a little room for error.
And are you finding? Are you only betting dogs, or are you staying away from big faves? Or if you see value in those big faves, are you still willing to, you know, bet it? A lot of guys won't bet huge faves no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to any sports gambling form out there, like covers.com, the infamous covers.com.
We'll get into covers later.
You'll see guys say never lay more than 150 or $1.50 on a team, and who to avoid when betting on favorites. You know, as a math guy, I don't buy into that. I mean, I'll lay extra juice as long as I see that value that we, you know, that we just talked about. So if I see a good price on a favorite, let's say $1.50, and I'm projecting a 10% edge, well, I'm going to bet that game because I think that's you know, enough edge for me to take a risk on that game.
Now, have you thought about doing, you know, five inning, you know, lines, or even first inning lines, or are you strictly betting just money lines?
Right now I'm focusing on money lines. Those other markets, five inning, first inning, or even totals right now, you know, coming up with solid projections for those just take extra work. That's not saying that these aren't soft markets. Typically these are going to be soft markets. When I say soft, that means they're probably a little bit more beatable. But the problem is when you actually go to place a bet in one of these markets, you probably can't get a lot of money down. It's going to vary by sportsbook. You know, if anyone uses an online book, I don't know what the limit's going to be. But if you start beating up a bookie on first inning propositions, they're going to kick you out or cut your limit to like $10, literally. So, you know, on the bigger markets where it's more popular and the odds makers to put more time into developing their lines, you can get more money down. And really in baseball, you're talking about the full game money line.
And so you're not betting, you know, baseball professionally right now. Why are you scared to jump in? It sounds like you are confident in your system. You know, you're testing right. You may or may not like your job. Why are you scared to jump in?
You know, not many people like their job, Josh. You know what? I'm honestly pretty fortunate my job, you know, in terms of what I'm paid and my age and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like, you're right. I mean, this is my passion. And, you know, you use the word confident. You know, I'm getting there. It's, you know, when you start to lay out the pros and cons of leaving your job to pursue your passion, you know, there might be some cons that you didn't even think about, like, you know, losing a 401k health insurance. So it's not an easy decision, but, you know, look, the more confident I get, and the smarter I get, hopefully through this whole thing, you know, I hope it becomes a reality and I can, talk about it on the podcast.
So if you decide to ever make the leap, what type of bankroll, like unit wise? So what is your bankroll got to be? And what are you going to be betting, like unit size?
Well, I mean, think of it this way. I think you're asking how much money you need in a bank.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to be doing this full time in a full year, and, you know, let's say you want to make $100,000 in a year, like that's what you need to be happy and in order to do this. Well, starting with that goal, you kind of need to construct a plan on how that's going to be even possible. And if long term you think that over the course of a year you can average a 10% edge, well, if you take that 100,000 and divide it by 10%, you're going to need to make $1 million worth of bets. So knowing how much you need to bet in order to win $100,000, now you need to figure out how you're going to get that much money down. How many games is that going to be? In baseball, if I'm only going to bet, let's just say 500 games in a season, you know, you got to be betting, what is that, $2,000? Yeah, $2,000 a game. $2,000 a game on average. Sorry. Yeah.
You're the math guy.
I have a master's in finance. Yeah, I can't even do basic math sometimes. I know. Hopefully you guys haven't shut the podcast off by now.
As you're clicking the calculator on your screen.
No comment. My math was right, though. I'm a genius.
Oh, my God.
A million divided by 500 is 2,000. All right. Always go with your gut, guys. Oh, that's today's lesson. Always go with your gut.
Degenerate gambling rule number one, go with your gut.
And don't listen to anyone on covers.com.
Yes. Okay. Let's just get into covers. This is going to be our weekly, or whenever we do this podcast, whenever we decide it. We are going to break down one post on covers and we are just gonna we're just gonna get into it, so
let's dissect it.
Start with this one. Where should we say his name? All right, author Buster Douglas, title The Holy Bible of Betting: Gambling Rules Formed by Pros That You, all capitalized, must adhere to. First of all, great title to a cover post.
That, first of all, is great English, grammar, and I'm sucked in right away just off of that flashy title. I'm pumped right now.
This guy, covers.com, the forums. I'm hoping if you listen to this podcast, you know of covers. If you don't, go on there. Some of the dumbest people are on this site, so feel free to look at the Forbes. They are hilarious, but I'm not going to read the whole post. I just want to break down to some of these guys, his rules that you have to follow.
The Holy Bible.
The Holy Bible rules. All right, here we go. We're just going to – this is follow these rules to the T, as he says, not A-T, like how I've heard it a million times. And the wise guys and sharps do it also. So, Denny, if the sharps and wise guys are doing this, how can we not follow these rules?
Clearly, this guy has wise guy and sharp friends, and they've shared, it looks like, 12 rules of their success. So let's hear the wise guys have to say.
I think we should just maybe agree or disagree with these rules. That'll keep it easy and short. Rule number one, never bet more than you can afford to lose. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, you don't want to go broke, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty standard. I mean, I would hope you're not. I mean, we are degenerate gamblers, and
if you got $500 in your checking account, you probably shouldn't be making a $2,000 bet.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so we'll agree with that one. Good start. We're just going to skip, a couple of these or whatever. Number four, never gamble when you're hungry, drunk, or high. Brain is in a state of confusion, and you are guaranteed to lose money 100%. Okay, so, if you're guaranteed to lose 100%, It's obviously you should follow this.
Well, I disagree with this because he used the word gamble, and I see the word gamble. I want to have fun. When I gamble, I want to have fun. I want to hit the craps table. I want to hit, let it ride table or bet on some horses. So, you know what? I might get, when you're hungry. I just noticed he said when you're hungry.
Well, your brain, state of confusion. Your brain's like, oh, God, I really want to, pizza. I probably shouldn't make this hard 8 bet because I guarantee I lose.
I was looking at the drunk and high part, and then I see hunger. Man, this guy might be onto something here.
If he's a degenerate gambler, it's pretty easy to get comped at the local cafe in the casino.
I've been known to get a little drunk when I gamble.
All right, let's skip down to number 9. Pay very little attention to injury reports. It's already figured into the line, and many times you read some key player might not play tonight, and you go and fade that team, and the mofo is dressed on the field or the floor.
Now,
one.
The mofo.
Obviously, this guy is an English major. No doubt. But
he heard this from a wise guy, don't forget. The wise guy.
I'm going to actually kind of agree with this. People tend to overreact to injury news. I mean, the lines makers know this.
If you're trying to be educated, then yeah, that's a good rule to follow. But, like I was kind of saying, like in baseball, my model is player based, and I do the same thing in NBA. A real sharp is going to factor in how costly is that injury in terms of probability of winning. So that factors into the money line, or how much is a NBA player worth to a point spread, or the same thing in football. Because like when Aaron, what the hell's his name? Aaron Rodgers on Green Bay got hurt this year. Odds makers were like, oh, well, he's worth 4 points, 7 points, and no one knew. But you can actually develop a way to quantify how much that he's worth to a team. So, I agree as a general rule, I guess. You're kind of shit out of luck if that mofo is on the field or on the floor. But, you can actually, apply some real analysis to this and maybe actually use that injury in your favor or, talk you out of a bet.
All right. This one's my favorite. Number 13. You have no favorite team. You only like the team you bet on that day. Leave your emotions and heart out of gambling. That just sounds boring.
Bullshit.
Like
bullshit.
Now I'm not willing to not bet against my team. But I'm still cheering for every team I bet on.
I'm pretty sure.
And my favorite teams all the time.
I'm pretty sure you can make a living betting against my teams.
Jets, Mets, right?
And the Islanders. Don't forget the Islanders, yeah. Who obviously haven't been good since the 80s. But, if you're actually trying to do this, in a professional way or actually trying to make money, this is, I guess an okay rule.
If you are trying to do this for real, you're not on covers reading some guy's holy Bible of rules rules.
I like how you just said that, and you started the show basically by saying that I might make the plunge, and here we are reading this.
Well, yeah, we're making fun of these guys.
Clearly.
All right. My favorite part of covers is how people like take this serious. Like this guy's response to this guy's post is great post. Really deserves more recognition.
Wait, before that, Josh, can we just say how long this post is? This guy probably devoted an hour and a half out of his life to type in all these rules. I mean, first off, Buster Douglas, thank you. Thank you for coming out of your boxing retirement and typing all these rules on here. But I mean, I can't even view it on my computer screen without scrolling.
Yeah.
And yes, to your point, the people on covers, they're not capable of seeing how stupid this guy is. I mean, 8th Rothstein 27. great character from a great movie, writes, great post, really deserve more recognition. I over under how much money is in that guy's checking account. I'm going to put that $150, and I might lay money on the under.
I would definitely take action on that over. Like, I don't even have $150 in my account. This guy looks like, I mean, you can't have a name like that and not have more than $150 in your account. So, all right. Well, that concludes our cover segment of the week.
Boom.
I think it was very successful. Listeners, let us know if we even get listeners. Let's be honest.
Denny Cast 1. Who's going to be number 8?
Let's be honest. If we get 5 listeners, it'd probably be a miracle.
I have, you know, it's going to be like 5 a minute, Josh.
So,
delayed left. Delayed left. Sick. Very sick.
All right. Denny, what else do you want to talk about? You want to talk about anything else?
Sure. We can always talk about something.
All right. Well, you're next. What's the next subject? Give me something to talk about.
How about poker, your forte?
Unfortunately, this year, first year since I turned 21, so what, 27 now? I think I'm about to turn 27. Yeah. I will not be able to make it out for the World Series of Poker, and I am crushed. Like, it hurts. Weddings and real work I can't get out of. It's very frustrating.
That's the sign of a true degenerate gambler, though. Like, the fact that you're publicly, like, depressed about not being able to come to Vegas for a few days so you can just take your paycheck and throw it on a poker table and say, I'm all in with a pair of shit.
Okay, first of all, don't play cash games. That is my own personal rule. Don't play cash games, because I do that. I do take my paycheck and gone.
Well, yeah.
Tourneys only, I'm okay at tournaments. I'll just say that. That's all.
Are you a winning tournament player?
Well, being the degenerate gambler that I am, I do not keep sound records of my gambling. But I think I'm up in tournament poker.
Really?
Yes.
I did see you win a daily event at the World Series of Poker once.
Oh, yeah. Before they were massive, unfortunately. Before they turned into, you know, 60K scores, it was only 15. So, but it was okay. It was.
And how long did that 15K last, do you?
It lasted me
3 days. Let's see.
Well, I played in like 2 more events after that. Then had to go home, bought a computer and a TV. So I still have some money, technically, if you count the TV.
I think you're skipping the part where you went to the 3-card poker table.
Okay.
you went to the roulette table.
I kind of forgot about that. So, yeah. So what did I go to the roulette table? And not roulette. Yeah, was it roulette? Yeah. And what did I put, $1,500 on black?
Something like that. Yeah,
that was fun. And then I lost. And then I naturally chased it and got it back.
Well, that's a good subject now that you mentioned that. What's the biggest bet that you've made in your life?
Well, that is probably the single bet on a table game. Had a couple prop bets, one with you that involved the Hilton, the super contest, which I did not win.
So, obviously.
Okay. What did you win? By like 3 games?
Oh, way more than that.
Was it? I don't, like I said, I don't keep track of my history.
It might have been like 6 games, but like 6 games in that contest is huge.
Well, yeah, it's definitely huge. And I'm splitting a team with 2 other guys, 2 of our other buddies who will probably make an appearance on this podcast if we ever do more than one episode.
Now, let's just stop right there for a second, because one of these guys, if you're listening right now, and you're a degenerate gambler, one of the guys is an expert golf handicapper. And let me just tell you, if that doesn't get you excited and want to listen to episode 2, you know, I don't know who the hell you are, because this guy is the number one golf handicapper in the world.
And his
just ask him. He'll tell you all about it.
We'll ask him. He may or may not be down multiple bets to me. Prop bet golf, though. That's all I got to say. So I don't know who the expert really is. So that actually that's a good thing to switch into the super contest. You're getting in it again this year. I assume we're getting in it as a team again this year. What do you think? So our strategy is three. You know, for everyone who doesn't know, super contest. Denny, explain it a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Well, nowadays it's really the only. I don't know. I hate the word. I guess the word is premier football handicapping contest in Vegas. Back in the day, there used to be several, but it's basically a $1,500 entry. You can do up to two entries per person, but basically you just pick five games a week against the spread according to the posted lines on like Wednesday at the LVH now, no longer the Hilton, but the guy with the most points wins it. But I think the top 30 cash last year. So I mean, typically you need to hit at least 60% of your bets to win. So the past couple of years, Josh has been on a team, and I've gone solo. Neither of us have cashed the last 2 years. I've come, I guess, somewhat close the last 2 years, but you know, 1,000 people were in it last year. It does take some luck to win this.
So, and the way we do it is, there's three of us. We go off whoever had the better record last year gets first pick for week one. You know, we do it, I guess, snake style, where, you know, two guys will have two picks and one guy will be one pick for the week. Do you think we can compete with this strategy?
No. No, I don't.
Why not?
Well, I mean, you're talking to a guy who is completely 100% math-based and statistical-based, and, you know, you said the word compete. The only way I ever see you guys winning this is by sheer luck, because the three of you guys are coin flippers, is the term, I believe.
Coin flippers are us, I believe. Yes. Yes.
Coin flippers are us, yes. Basically.
Well, so, I have – okay. You don't want to hear my NFL system?
Sure. Let me hear it.
It's very simple. You bet on the most gangster black quarterback, whoever's in that game, you pick them.
You should post that on covers.com.
You probably should.
You'll probably get like a million hits.
So
like
this, I think like Buster Douglas. I actually had a decent year last year picking, you know, the Panthers and Russell Wilson. Oh, I guess Russell Wilson's not, quote, gangster, but you know what I mean.
So are you going to bet on the Jets next year?
Oh, they're at the top of my big board. Like, I get to pick Geno Smith and or Mike Vick? Like, yeah.
You think Geno Smith's gangster?
I mean, yeah.
All right.
Are you excited about the Jets this year?
I'm excited about the Jets every year. I mean, the NFL, there's so much parity in the league that a team that finishes last place in the division always finds a way to win the division
always.
Next year.
Always. Listen to this guy. Always.
It happens. I mean, it's the one sport where I feel like that happens more than any other sport.
Sorry, not to cut you off there, but do you bet football at all or not?
Of course I bet football. I'm a degenerate gambler.
Okay, so do you have a system or model for football, or
my mom bets NFL football. I mean, like, you're not an American if you don't bet on the NFL. You know, I mean, you know, people want sweat. They want to sweat on Sundays. And you're un-American if you don't bet on the NFL. You heard it here first, people.
All right, that's very true. And I think that's about it for episode one. Denny, anything else jump off at you we should talk about?
This was a lot of fun. Denny Caps 1 is my Twitter. You want to plug our Twitter, the podcast Twitter?
Yeah, @DGenMinds.
And then we have an email.
Yeah, degenerateminds@gmail.com. So if you guys want us to talk anything, maybe link some funny or bad covers.
If you want to make fun of us,
yeah.
Any feedback.
Any feedback's good, because that means you listen to this.
You want to make fun of Josh's hosting skills?
Yeah, know. Sorry. You know, first podcast I hosted. I mean,
that's encouraged to do that, so we can all laugh at them. But so,
all right. Well, hopefully next time, it'll be better.
Next week, maybe we'll have a catchphrase to end the show with.
You know? A catchphrase or a song. You know, maybe we could get a song.
Oh, a song. You know? Yeah, I have someone in mind for that.
So. All right. Stay tuned next week for our song. Later, guys.
Later.